There's no financial relationships to disclose. Today, I'm a co-author on a presentation, Developing Public Health Nursing Identity and Competencies in Local Health, which was jump-started by H1N1. So public health nursing, what we found through this last year in the pandemic, that they're proficient and comfortable with individual services, but uncomfortable and resistant to population health. The local health department that I represent is in the collar count, one of the collar counties of Chicago. It is approximately 520,000 people. It has two large urban corridors, second largest city in Illinois, a huge middle suburban area, followed by a very rural fringe. We have 122 FTEs at the time we developed this project. As of today, we're down to 60 FTEs due to large funding cuts, and many of the nurses have been laid off. At this time, when we did this project, we had 29 nurses, including all the nurse leaders. Our funding was 65% state grant funded, which really contributed to why we needed to do this project. And then there were three major divisions, one being community health, health protection, and family health. Among the educational preparation with the 29 public health nurses, it was a mixed bag, probably very similar to many local health departments, where we had one diploma nurse, five associate degree nurses, 15 baccalaureate prepared, four nurses that have masters in public health, and then four nursing masters. Unfortunately, what we found is that the public health nursing activities over the years are really constricted by categorical funding. And in our area especially, the largest unit that we had was the maternal child unit, and that funding was strictly categorical, and it did not allow the nurses to really operate outside the maternal child area. The communicable disease funding, as you're all aware, with your preparedness funding, that was definitely categorical funding and did not allow really cross-disciplinary action. And really, you really don't find population health funding. So what we did early on prior to H1N1 was we recognized that we needed to make a move with our public health nurses and redevelop them. So we had a strategic planning session, and really it was centered around our 2030 vision, which was making sure that the Kane County residents are the healthiest in Illinois. We had other drivers for the public health nursing development, and we adopted the three keys to greatness strategies. So we wanted to attract and retain educated, committed leaders and staff, really get data that could transform into actionable health information. As our previous speaker noted, the data really is the key to everything. And then making sure that our community partnerships are active and supported. We also decided to go for voluntary accreditation. We began that process. We created QIPI charters, and we did institute cross-cutting QIPI committees. We developed a community health action plan in response to community health needs assessment. And in this community health action plan, we identified four key areas for public health nurses to operate, one being high-risk infant, one follow-up, one being communicable disease surveillance, one being lead case management, and the fourth escapes me for a second, but I'll get it. Our leadership decision at that point was that we needed to increase our immunizations. Thank you. Our fourth area was immunizations. We'd had to implement and increase the public health nursing population health activities. Even with 122 FTEs, 29 nurses can only do so much in a county of 500,000 people. And so you really needed to leverage the power of few into the action steps for many. And so we aligned these four public health nursing areas with our community health action plan. And then we realigned the nursing responsibilities so that each nurse decreased their current activity by 20%. So if they were maternal child nurse, they were working and they were full time, they would work 4 days in maternal child nursing, but they would work one other day in one of the other cross-cutting areas. So whether that was immunizations or communicable disease surveillance or lead case management, that they would decrease their role by 20%. We did provide training and orientation to those new focus areas, and we also brought in population-focused projects, especially in the areas of immunization. So these are the four areas that we chose. We called this affectionately the 80-20 plan, which not everybody embraced. I can tell you the 80-20 plan is not a popular moniker right now currently at the health department, and we are contemplating changing that title. We did work with Michelle Issel from the University of Illinois, and we did have the nurses complete a competency self-assessment in these four core areas, and we did use Benner's Stages of Clinical Competence scale. At that point, it revealed that few nurses assess themselves as competent in these four areas. So you can look and see the Benner scale of novice to expert, and here's our results, which really, if you look at the midpoint, our largest division being maternal child, showed that the high-risk infant staff, the maternal child staff, considered themselves at least proficient in that area, but certainly communicable disease surveillance, immunization, and lead poisoning prevention were a little bit of a surprise to us in terms of the nurses' self-assessment scores. The general reaction by the nurses was pretty much what you might predict to any type of change, which was some reluctance, concern, really especially around immunizations, especially for nurses who'd not done nurse immunizations in a very long time. We had a number of nurses who had not even given injections in a number of years. We are a union shop. We did have nurses seek bargaining unit representation on this issue. And then there was a lot of concern about the 80-20 assignments not necessarily being completely 100% equitable. So our executive director does happen to be a nurse, and the other nurse leaders, we convened the staff to meet monthly to look really and try to identify what is their public health nursing identity. Many of you may run into the same issue where you have nurses in a public health department that will identify themselves as the CD nurses or the STD nurses or the family practice nurse, family planning nurses. They don't necessarily identify themselves as public health nurses. And so we really wanted to facilitate that identity change and really resolve concerns. So we developed a vision of public health nursing practice that would be consistent across the organization and that aligned with the ANA PHN scopes and standards of practice, as well as the vision of the health department. Most of our nurses were not familiar with the ANA PHN scope and standards of practice. We did purchase those for all of our nurses. So the goals were really, you know, to improve the quality of our services, really focus our response to the community health priorities, especially with the number of staff that we had, really give the nurses professional growth opportunity and enhance job satisfaction, look at the financial sustainability, and really contribute to the regional and national efforts around public health nursing practice. But then life got interesting, and as we all know, in the spring, we had our first H1N threat. So we began to prepare, as many of you in local health departments, for mass vaccination. At this time, I have to admit, it was a little scary knowing the self-assessment scores and that a number of nurses in the agency were not comfortable with not only vaccinating, but not even injecting. So we needed to really jumpstart our efforts and work with our staff to accelerate their ability to immunize, vaccinate, inject, be comfortable with standing orders, different age populations. And our nurses definitely rose to the occasion and really contributed to the quality of our mass vaccination efforts over the next several weeks. In one evening, our nursing staff, in collaboration with all of the four schools of nursing in our area, gave over 11,000 H1N1 vaccinations in 1 4-hour period. So everybody really rose to the occasion. So that definitely, the teamwork with using student nurses as well as our own nurses and agency nurses made a big difference and helped move that project up. We're also working with a project called CRISP. The HRSA Bureau of Health Professions has funded the University of Illinois School of Nursing and the University of Washington School of Nursing, keeping RNs to improve and strengthen public health. We are a participant with two other health departments in Illinois and three in Washington State. And that goal is to improve RN recruitment, increase retention, maintain RN positions in local health departments, which we are all struggling with, and maintain and improve the quality of public health nursing care. So we did get a large degree of technical assistance from the University of Illinois, especially around self-assessment and the teaching modules related to population health. We did do a self-assessment tool around public health, nursing, and the essential services, and we were not surprised by the result that most nurses were very comfortable with things like linkages, linkage and referrals, but you know, uncomfortable with things like policy and planning. So ongoing, we did identified nurse trainers that were assigned to support and mentor all the public health nursing in each one of the four core areas. We're still doing this, it's still underway, we're still using all of these tools. After H1N1, we have had to decrease some of the study time and really move into more of a combination of actual direct service and population health projects, which has been a little bit of a source of frustration for the nurses, especially as we've downsized over the last, today is the last day of employment for 60 of our employees, and then required reorganization, of course, around local health department requirements. We did use the model here to show what, you know, how we did this reorganization, with the bottom level being what's required for local health department certification. So our new redesign is that the new educational threshold is a baccalaureate degree, that our new job descriptions are emphasizing the essential services of public health, the Council on Linkages core competency, and the ANA scope and standards for public health nursing, as well as the Illinois Nurse Practice Act, which has surprisingly been very helpful. It's got good new language. So our lessons learned so far was really build the vision, you know, implement that change cycle despite all the obstacles, and align your public health nursing assets within your local health department, and look at whatever kind of efforts are going on and really jumpstart it. We currently have the largest TB outbreak among homeless populations in the country. In a large number of years, and so our nurses are getting a lot more comfortable with tuberculosis than they ever had before, so that's another opportunity as well as a challenge. Okay, thank you.